The date is April 29th, 2016. I'm Matthew Slizik, and today I am with Charles Wesley Starling, and today we're going to be talking about his great-great-grandfather, correct?
Yes.
Charles Wesley Lenard.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fine. It picks up, so you'll be good.
All right, I want to talk about my great-great-grandfather. Luckily, we have a surviving letter he wrote home during the war. The poor man from North Carolina didn't own slaves, was not a secessionist, and honestly, I think it's good to get the context of the average man in the fight during the time. So I'm going to just read his letter to you, and I might give you context along the way, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
June 9th, 1864, Mr. Putnam. Is who he's writing to. Dear friend, me and Doc has been thinking of writing to you for some time, though we have not had the opportunity of doing so till now. We will give you the news as far as we are able, as the fighting has got rather the best of us. I think there has been a great loss of lives on both sides, though we have not lost near as many as the Yankees have, for they have done the attacking and we have been mostly in the breastworks. If we hadn't had breastworks, they would have run us out, believe me. Regiment has been in 7 battles since the 12th of May and have suffered badly for it, for we have done the flanking. Generally, our losses in our regiment has been about 350 men, about 150 captured, 140 killed, and the remainder wounded. We have about 1 good company left now in the regiment, though we have suffered as of more than any others. Colonel and Major were killed. Only 1 officer in the regiment, and that's Captain Donnell, and he commands it. Everything remains quiet today and has been so for 3 days. There was a desperate fight last Friday at Cold Harbor. The Yankees tried to take that place. We repulsed them with awful slaughter, and that was on the right wing of our army, and we were on the left and were ordered to go and attack them in the rear when we got 1 line of their breastworks and helped them for 36 hours and pressed them, and we got decidedly the advantage of that day's fight, with a small loss on our side compared with theirs because we were protected by our breastworks. If you know about Cold Harbor, the slaughter that happened in the first 5 minutes, he was actually there, flanked them and took the enemy in the rear. This has beat any fighting that ever was known. If you hear any secessionists say the Yankees won't fight, just tell them this is the place to prove it. I wish the last one was here, and if there is any more fighting to do, they would have to be in front, and then you would hear cries for peace. You got to see, most Southerners weren't secessionists.
Yeah.
But while they are allowed to remain at home, they say, all right, go out, boys, whip them Yankees' butts. We will have a good time. Y'all go there. This year's fighting, blank, blank, we haven't been able to translate that, as you can see in the letter. For if such fighting as we have done for the last month, they would make peace. There is no use in fighting. We are lying up and resting now, and I suppose the enemy is doing the same. General Grant sent a flag of truce to General Lee a Tuesday for permission to bury their dead as we helped the battlefield, and he granted him the privilege of doing so. There has been no one killed out of the neighborhood as I have any knowledge of. Me and Doc have both escaped well. Lee was captured the 10th of May, so he is safe. Lee's his brother.
Okay.
He didn't know, like I said, the Southerners didn't know that the prisoner exchange had stopped the previous year, so they assumed people who were captured would be safe. His brother died in a prison camp before returning home. I want you to show this letter to Janie Edwards, as my views are this about the fighting, that neither army will whip bad, still they will continue to fight on occasionally and nothing gained by it. So we will close by hoping to hear from you soon. Your friends, Samuel P. Knight and C.W. Leonard, Corporal, 45th Company Regiment, 45th Regiment, Company C, 45th Regiment, North Carolina Troops, Davis Brigade. So that's a letter from him sent home. As you can see, that kind of, he even tells him, this is how I feel about the fighting, this is how I feel about the war, and he thinks his brother Lee's going to be safe. His brother Lee dies. Ultimately, I think he's wounded in Gettysburg and goes home with a leg wound, and actually lives to a ripe old age for the time period. He's born on Christmas Eve and dies on Christmas Eve in like 1891, and is buried in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we've been to his gravesite a couple of times, but that's his story. I have another ancestor, Thomas Boston Starling, who is from Cedar Creek, registered in Fayetteville, North Carolina in the 1870 census, who was a farmer who fought in the 36th North Carolina Infantry and was at Fort Fisher in the Home Guard for most of the war. And that's pretty much the story.
All right, excellent. Yeah, that's plenty of information. I think that would do well with the museum. So, yeah. Is there anything else that you can think of off the top of your head, or you remember?
Yeah, I'm named after him, and he is actually the great-great-grandfather of mine through my grandmother's lineage.
Okay.
That's why he's a Leonard and I'm a Starling.
Oh, okay.
But there's still lots of Leonards around who have a great deal more information about my great-great-grandfather. I might be able to get you something for the future. But honestly, it gives me chills to even read this, because it gives you a glimpse into the mind of a man who was there. You got to think, this is June 9th. They've been in 7 major battles since the 12th of May.
Yeah.
That's, you know, they didn't see that much fighting in World War II in the European theater, if you think about it. That's a lot. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
All right, sounds good. I'm glad you could share that with us. So yeah, we're going to be signing off now.